Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. It's one of the more famous Easter hymns by Mr. Wesley. And we wish you and everyone at SVC who's listening a very, very happy Easter. And we pray God's blessing on you today and always. As you know, on the first Sunday of the month, we're going through the Apostles' Creed. And the next article of the Creed is, on the third day, he rose again. So that would have been May's topic. But as it's Easter Sunday, we're bringing it forward to today. As it's Easter Sunday, we're going to look at what it means that Jesus Christ rose again. So we're going to look at a passage now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. And then I'm going to preach on it. So let's hear God's word. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it is I or they, so we preach, and you believed. That is God's word. So what is it we're going to look at? We're going to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at this passage, draw out some truths that Paul's saying, and then offer some applications. By applications, I mean, what difference does it make to me and to you in 2022? So what's Paul saying here? He wants to draw the Corinthian church, Corinth, is a place in Greece, what we now call Greece, and he wants to draw their attention to something that is of first importance. What is it? Now I would remind you, brothers, verse 1, of the gospel I preached to you. So he's reminding them of the gospel. The gospel means good news. The good news of Jesus Christ, which is this, that he delivered to them as first importance. It's the most important thing Paul ever preached to them. He preaches a lot through his ministry and through his letters, which we still read. He talks about in 1 Corinthians, he gives them a real good telling off because they're disorderly, they're immoral, they're falling out over speaking in tongues and prophesying in the service. They're doing all manner of things that they shouldn't be doing. And Paul then, after telling them off, reminds them of what's really important. And it's this. Verse 3, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Paul's gospel is, one thing I want to see from this, Paul's gospel is not new. In one sense, Paul's gospel was promised by God in the Bible, and there were parts of the Bible that were written over 1,000 years before the time of Christ. This was God's plan all along. Sin, doing things we shouldn't do, and not doing the things that we should, missing the mark of God's commands, That wasn't a surprise to him either. This was all God's plan. A plan to restore and redeem and save a people for himself. God had spoken it in the scriptures. It had now been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ died on Good Friday. He was buried to show that he was really dead. He really had died. And then on the third day, he rose again. What does that mean? God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ was supernaturally raised by God. It is a miracle. So when people say, oh, Easter's not natural, say, yes, I agree. It's a miracle. The Lord Jesus Christ's tomb was found empty. People, as Paul writes, and Paul wrote this fairly early on, this is one of Paul's earliest letters. People are still around who could have disputed what was being said. He says this. He appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12, and then to more than 500 people. The tomb was found empty, and people said they saw him. People had experiences of him. The risen Christ. And many of them went on to give their lives for that truth. These people genuinely really believed that they'd seen the risen Christ. And indeed, Paul, one who persecuted the church, he saw the risen Christ as well. We talked about that in Acts chapter 9. A man who was going to kill Christians, wanted to wipe out the church, wanted to crush this rebellious movement that was threatening his nation, ended up giving his life to Christ and wanting to convert everybody to that cause. And indeed he gave his life for this truth that Christ has been raised. And as I say, God has raised him from the dead. He died on the cross, and now he lives and he's alive forever. And the lives of the people who had experiences of the risen Christ were changed forever. Now, why did God do all this? If you've come to church a lot, we know this. God did it because we fell. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all owe God obedience, and we can't pay that because we've all disobeyed. So God sent his son. He gave his only son. He died the death that we should have died. He paid the price for our sin, and so death couldn't hold him. The price has been paid, God has accepted it, and his ultimate proof is that God raised him from the dead. And so now Jesus lives forever. And that's how we can have eternal life. That's how Christians can have life forever. It's because Jesus is alive. Because of our union with Christ. Because he lives, we also will live. Because he will never die, we too will never die. Yes, we will have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death physically. But we will go on. As he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. John chapter 11. The Lord Jesus said that. He rose from the dead because he's the resurrection. And it's God's way of saying, yes, I accepted his sacrifice. Yes, The debt has been paid. Yes, Christ now, who humbled himself, begins his exalted state. So we see a number of things from this passage before us. If Jesus did rise from the dead, there is a God. Because this didn't happen naturally. People don't just come back from the dead. I don't know if you remember, but last year, Professor Alice Roberts, an atheist, put on Twitter, as it's Easter week, she said, as it's Easter weekend, just a reminder, dead people stay dead. And she's, in one sense, she's absolutely right. Once you're dead, that's it. But if somebody comes back to life, and if 500 odd people see him, and if people who were going to be persecuted for following this man then think, hang on, I can't deny that I've seen him. You can't make me deny this. I saw it with my own eyes. If they are prepared to give their life, that's an evidence for, hang on, yes, this happened. And if people who are persecuting the church then give their lives to it because they believe they've seen the risen Christ, yes, we can say Christ is risen. And if Christ is risen, then there's a God. And yes, dead people do stay dead. But there's a God, so one of them is raised from the dead. And his name is Jesus Christ. It means that he is the one that God sent to rescue us. It means of all the claims, of all the religions in the world, of all the ways to be saved that you're on off, that are offered to you, there's only one that says God became a man, he died for your sins, and then he was raised again from the dead. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. It's all an act of God's free grace. Trust in him today. And that cuts against so much that we hold so dear, against pride, against self-sufficiency, against working hard and being rewarded. It spits in the face of all of that. It also means death is not the end. There is a world after this one. There is a judgment to be had. There is a God who didn't spare his own son. So what will he do with us? There is a God who we'll stand before one day and who gave his son as a way to be saved, to be rescued, and that he offers it to you now. And he's left. Look at the, as I say, look at the proofs he's left to us all. You can look at them. Many people have tried to disprove Christianity and they've gone after the resurrection. And when they've gone after it, they've ended up becoming Christians. Lee Strobel is one, The Case for Christ. He wrote that book. J. Warner Wallace, he was a policeman. And he says, I'm going to look at everything they own and I'm going to demolish it. He too is a Christian now. Chuck Colson, he gave his quote that we see on social media at Easter time. He says this. He said, Jesus rose from the dead. I have no doubt about that because 12 men gave their lives. 12 men. They wouldn't have given their life for a lie. They wouldn't. They wouldn't have knowingly lied, faced persecution and death, and then still did it. How do I know that? Because I was in the White House during the Watergate scandal. And 12 men around the most powerful man in the world couldn't keep a lie secret for 3 weeks. They could have done it their entire lives and faced death. No way. Jesus Christ rose again. That's the meaning of Easter. Indeed, one proof, one massive truth that gets forgotten today. Paul was Jewish. Paul was Jewish. All the apostles, Peter, all of them, all the first Christians were all Jewish. And they started worshipping on Sunday. something monumental had to happen. Why is that a big deal? Oh, if you know any Jewish people who are religious, you'll know that's a very big deal. Saturday, Friday night to Saturday night, that's the Jewish Sabbath. That's a holy day, which must be strictly, conscientiously observed. No work, no leisure, no nothing. It's a holy day. And the apostles all said in the New Testament, that day, don't bother with it anymore. What on earth? A day that shaped their weekly routine? A day that shaped their lives? It's similar to us saying, don't bother with Christmas. Imagine saying that. Just forget about it. Only more so. And they said, don't bother with it. We have a new day. We have Sunday, the Lord's Day. We worship now on this day. Something absolutely monumental and life-changing must have happened for them to have done that. And then gave their lives for it. And it's this, that Jesus Christ rose again. And this is the day that we celebrate. That's why we do it. So every Lord's Day, think about Jesus rising from the dead, which is going into the second point. Second point, applications. What difference does this make to my life today? Well, we've talked a bit about it, but here's where we apply. Here's what we have to do. Here's what we should do. If you're not a Christian, God has given you a way to have eternal life. God in his grace, his kindness, his mercy, his tenderness and his love has given you a saviour, a rescuer. One who stands before the throne of God, completely clean, completely righteous and holy. And God has shown us that by his death, his burial and his resurrection. And he's exalted now to the right hand on high. He will receive you, whatever you've done, however bad you've been, however good you think you've been, but you still can't earn God's favour. And he'll give you eternal life today. And the reason you can know that you have eternal life is because God raised him from the dead and you're united to him, so his life is yours. That's the first thing we should do. The resurrection, there are three great truths that Christians can hold on to from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first one is this: God has accepted Jesus' sacrifice. Christ died for your sins. So any sin that you've committed, even as I said when we looked at the cross, the things that you can't remember and the things that you wish you could forget, the things that torture you when you think about them, Christ has paid that price and they've gone forever. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And how do we know that God has been so gracious to us, that God's accepted that sacrifice which paid for your sins? God raised him from the dead. So your debt's been paid. And once your debt's paid, nobody has any right to ask you to pay it again. So you are forgiven. You are righteous. You're pure. You're holy. You're adopted by God into his family, and you're his forever. The second great truth is that you, your old self, has died, and your new self is hidden with Christ in God. Your life of sin, serving the world, doing whatever you wanted to do, living for yourself, that's died. And you've been raised with Christ forever. That's what Paul talks about in Colossians 3. It's a good passage to look at. Have a read of it tonight. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then he gives a load of applications, a load of things you should and shouldn't do because Christ is risen and you've been raised with him. So he says, don't lie. Don't be sexually immoral. Don't be greedy. Don't be angry. Don't slander. Don't be malicious. be kind, be humble, be patient, be compassionate. Be a thankful person. Sing praises to God. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a fantastic passage. If you want to know what difference it makes to your life that Jesus is alive, read Colossians 3, 1 to 17. Should make us holy. We should desire earnestly to be as godly and as holy as we ever can be this side of heaven. And the third great truth the resurrection of Jesus gives to us is that one day we too will be raised. We too will be raised. Yes, if the Lord doesn't come back, we will die. But one day, on that great and glorious day, we will hear the voice of the Son of God. And we'll see him as he is. And we'll be united to him forever. And he'll take us in to everlasting joy. And we'll see his face. We'll see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what the resurrection of Jesus does for us. So, in closing, rejoice. 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 Your sins are forgiven. You can have power over. You can have peace of conscience, peace with God, peace and joy and hope in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is a mess. But in the horrors that we see on the news, in the injustices and the awful things that we see on the news and on social media, we can have a hope so sure, sure and steadfast, that God raised Jesus from the dead and at the end all will be made right. So rejoice. Rejoice that your sins are forgiven. Rejoice that you can conquer those sins that bother you. Rejoice and set your mind on things that are above. Be a truly heavenly minded person, that's your home. Remember. Again, use the Lord's day to think about the wonderful things that God did on this day. Several things. God, at the beginning in Genesis 1, he spoke and creation began. Then, several years later, God spoke again. God raised Jesus from the dead. And then, a few weeks later, God sent the Holy Spirit to baptize the church. All of which happened on the first day of the week. As the old hymn says, on thee at the creation, speaking of the first day of the week, on you at the creation the light first had its birth, on you for our salvation Christ rose from depths of earth, on you the Lord victorious, the Spirit sent from heaven, and thus on you most glorious, a threefold light was given. That's what God did on the first day of the week. It's a special day. Think about these acts that God did. When the sermon's a bit heavy or you weren't listening, think about these things. Use the Lord's Day as a day to rejoice and remember. And then be revived. Revived. And let's live that resurrection life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Serving God and serving our neighbours in this generation. Keeping our eyes fixed on him. But doing the best we can for our God and for our neighbours. Sharing this good news with them. And doing all we can to bring them comfort and blessing. The blessing of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.